We're going to begin our Christmas series this week. We're going to start with John the Baptist. We're going to look at some discomfort. The theme of this year's Christmas is discomfort for a purpose. Discomfort for a purpose. Does anybody have discomfort in their life? And so I think discomfort is certainly be on the milder end of things in our lives, of difficulties, of trials, things going on, but it covers a wide array of things. So as we look at each aspect, each piece of the Christmas narrative this year, there's going to be an aspect of discomfort in there. Why have it there? I mean, we love a good God, a gracious God, a God who's always there, who's always powerful, who knows everything. And so if we're going through a difficult portion, different difficult period, there's a purpose. It's not because he's lazy, but there's a purpose to it. Sometimes we figure it out, other times we don't. But God is highly, highly intentional. So let me pray for our time. Lord, we are grateful that your caring, loving hand is on us all the time. I pray as we enter into this Christmas season that, Lord, you would bring comfort to our hearts as we still go through discomfort in our lives. As with every year, we're going to be missing family members who are no longer with us. Christmases can get tougher and tougher as families are strained, people are missing, Lord, but we seek you. May this Christmas season yield a wonderful bounty for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's look at John the Baptist's purpose. What was the purpose of his life? It's right there at the end of verse 17. It'll also be at the end of chapter 1 of Matthew. But Matthew writes and he will turn away, or he turned many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. This is what the angel is saying to Zechariah in the temple. And he'll go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. That's the purpose of John the Baptist's life, is to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And you all are smart. You've read your Bible before. You heard it. You know this is the purpose. John the Baptist, that's what his life is all about, to prepare the way. But he's got some stuff in between birth and preparing the way, doesn't he? So let's go ahead and we'll just make a little timeline right here. And I'll use a marker that works. Oh, no. No, we're good. So that's a timeline. So just a shout out, what happened in John the Baptist's life or pre-life, starting with his parents through his death? If this is John the Baptist's life, what's going on there? Let's go ahead and shout it out. He was born. You're smart. So we have him. So he was born, absolutely. John the Baptist was born. Great observation. I'm sorry? It was prophesied his birth. What are you talking about? Yeah. So we have prophecy of birth. Are you talking Old Testament or? Yeah. So that'll certainly be on this side of things, the left hand side. Prophecy of his birth. What else we got going on? Yeah. So Dad spoke. Finally. I'm sorry? He was named. He was named John. He wasn't supposed to be John. That didn't make any sense. Why would this man be John? What else we got going on in his life? Yeah, there was a little shout out, was it he that kicked? Yeah, he kicked. Yeah, so here, before born, so we got a kick for Jesus. He gets kicks out of Jesus. Well, what else happened here in John the Baptist's life? He baptized Jesus. That's pretty important, wasn't it? Man, this doesn't want to stay up on me. What else we got going on? He was in the wilderness. This may or may not. Yeah, so we got wilderness. That was. Sorry, I don't have spell check on the whiteboard. So wilderness, that covers quite a big period of his life. He was in the wilderness. Anything else? What else happened? May take one or two, three more things. Yes. Yep, he was executed. That was probably the end of his life. Executed, head cut off. I'm sorry? No, it keeps on going on, doesn't it? Yeah, it's interesting how our lives and things, we can have greater impact even when we're far gone. So our lives should have greater impact than just the 80 or so years we spend here breathing. One more thing, anything else? Yeah, he had passion. He was willing to stand firm. Absolutely. Yeah, there's quite a bit that happened in his life, and a lot of things that weren't necessarily pleasant. But we have discomfort for a purpose. Why not just have a go? He's born, and some point later, he prepares the way for the Lord. It's interesting, even in utero, he's preparing a way for the Lord. During all this, he's preparing a way for the Lord. Lots of things going on. Even just the preparation, so his father being mute, his parents being older. Well, we've got a lot of things going on here. Let's look at a little bit of background, because Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're having some troubles here. But Matthew chapter 1, verse 6 says, talking about them, they were both righteous before God. So here's the two godly people, righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in their years. So, yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's pretty important. So not just 40 years old, but no, this is childbearing years have well passed her by, and during that time, yeah, excellent observation. And so all this, during this trial, this difficulty, this is certainly a big social stigma during this time. If you're not having childbirth, you're not able to have children, any problems, usually it's what did you do wrong? Well, what sin have you committed? What's going on here? That the Lord would certainly would take away this seemingly natural everybody else is able to do, especially in this culture today. Man, folks that don't even want to be having kids or having kids, but then there's certain people who desire, that's their heart desire, and the Lord's not allowing that to happen. But they were both righteous before God. They were walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes. These were two godly people facing trials, facing discomforts, and that's important to know, as we'll see next week with Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, also a couple of godly people. So our godliness does not preclude bad stuff from happening. And you all know this, but it's good to be reminded of it. And so as we go through today and these next few weeks, my goal is that we would take heart that God does great things because of and through great discomfort. I just want us to just take heart that, okay, no, God is doing great things and I can be comforted. But man, there's a lot going on here with Zechariah, Elizabeth, John the Baptist. But God's doing some awesome things. So let's look at discomfort number one. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're childless. Discomfort, trial, whatever name you want to put on it. But they're not able to have children. Now, that's a problem, as we already talked about. What purpose would God have in this? Why would you need to have them be barren in order to achieve this purpose? For John the Baptist to prepare the way for the Lord. It doesn't seem to make sense, does it? Why do you have to? And I'm sure God could have done it without, but he chose for her to be barren. Chose for her to be childless. And at least three purposes came to mind here. There might be more that come to your mind as you think about it. Purpose number one, I see the right child at the right time. Right child at the right time. He comes there right John the Baptist will be born 6 months before Jesus is born. So there's this comfort with Mary and Joseph. They're much older than Mary and Joseph, part of God's complex and wonderful plan to bring John the Baptist right before Jesus would come into this world. We see him leading the way for Jesus ultimately, so that right child at the right time. It's interesting, even it's not waiting until John the Baptist is 30 years old when he's done in his wilderness, when he's done leaving the wilderness of the womb. He's leading people, already kind of pointing people to Jesus. Verses 65 and 66, after John the Baptist is born, all these things were talked about throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." So people are already, what's going on here? God's doing something different here. People's attentions are being piqued. So even right before, 6 months before Jesus is born, there's something going on in the land, something different. It's easy with our 2020 vision to look back and see, oh, I can see how it's going, but people perhaps are being more attentive, more aware. Another purpose? People taking notice. You know, being childless, all of a sudden you have this woman past the age of childbearing years. Whoa, this is God. Yeah, 20-year-old women, hey, they have children all the time. 50-year-old, 15-year-old women, 30-year-old women. You know, this isn't, but whoa, hey, look at, this is God. This is awesome. God gets glorified. And she even says that God took away the reproach among many people. So people are no longer looking down on her. The final purpose I see here, it ensured that they would raise the child that God gave them the way that God wanted. In the wilderness we talked about. It was God's will for him to be raised in the wilderness. Imagine all those years of praying and asking for a child. And when things kind of happen the way we think they ought to happen, we take things for granted. We just kind of go, well, this is my plan. We just kind of continue going on with our plan, and God might give us some ideas, and we kind of go along or not. But I believe because of the discomfort, because of the childless years, this was a completely, all right, God, this is your child. Whatever you want to do, this is for you. He's yours. So they were willing. He should have been a priest like his old man, but instead let's take him out into the wilderness, away from the corruption, being corrupted by the Jewish faith. So he's ready for that right time to come in and start baptizing and preaching a gospel of repentance. The child grew and became strong in spirit in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. I think this is one of the major things that they were willing to raise him God's way. All right, Lord, whatever you want, you've brought this for us. So there's great blessings that come from discomfort. Discomfort number two, Zechariah he's muted. And that's certainly discomfort for 9 or so months. He's unable to speak. Remember, he goes into the temple and he drew the lot. And very, God's hand is so over all of this thing that it's not just a random luck. Whoever draws the card goes in there. But no, they see this as the drawing the lots, as God is hand selecting who goes in there. So he goes into the temple to light the incense. And so this is a whole God thing, and then he speaks with the angel. The angel speaks to him, kind of this disbelief going on, so he's muted. He's unable to speak. Why make him mute? How does that help John the Baptist speak to people 30 years later? What value does this add? Well, he's working on Zechariah's heart. It's not all just about the end result. It's not all just about us. He's transforming Zechariah, turning his disbelief then into belief. But God's not done there. He wants to turn this into this wholehearted, full endorsement of what he's got planned. Because not just, all right, I'm so happy, look at our lives. All right, you didn't believe in Jesus, and so now you believe in Jesus. All right, I'm glad you have your ticket to heaven. Go ahead and have fun, do work, whatever. But God wants us to live lives of full, wholehearted endorsement. We're sold out, completely all in. And 9 months of not talking, it's a lot of self-reflection, isn't it? A lot of self-reflection that can go in there. Hearing from the Lord and, all right, I believe this is going to happen. But God wanted to take him deeper than that. says, behold, you will be silent, unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. And so what do we see when he's born? Zechariah, he comes out prophesizing. It's 8 days after they go in for the circumcision and the naming. And remember, Elizabeth wants to name him John. They're like, no, you can't name him John. That's not a family name. What are you doing? And so his tongue is able to be loosed at that point. He says John, and then gives this great prophecy about the child. Filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And people are listening now. Remember, when he came out mute, they knew something was going on. They knew something was going on because he was taking too long in there to light some incense. People are paying attention to Zechariah. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us. He says that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before all of our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, over the speaking voice. For you will go before the Lord, prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So he comes out, this is more than just, okay, yeah, I believe and do some great things. Here's man speaking from God, the Holy Spirit using him and speaking mighty, mighty words. But what's another purpose? People would realize that, well, he did in fact see a vision. Man, something really strange happened. They can point right to God. They're going to use, and sometimes God, he gives us this great discomfort for his glory, for his honor. Yes, there's a little bit of discipline in there, but God, I love the psalm that says, how manifold are your ways. Your translation might have it differently, but how manifold. God doesn't do just one thing for one specific purpose. It's often all wrapped up and intertwined, and so wonderful is the way that things are doing. So he's drawing people to him. He's doing all wonderful things. People were waiting for Zechariah. They were wondering as to lay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak, and they realized that he had seen a vision of the temple. They knew. They knew that God had visited. He didn't have to say anything. And as I mentioned before, people would listen. People are going to listen to what this man has to say. If he just walked in the temple, walked out, all right, I have a word from God, sure you do. Maybe listen, maybe not, but 9 months of being unable to speak. People were listening. All these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them, that was everybody, laid them up in their hearts. They treasured this. Wow, look at this amazing stuff, for the hand of the Lord was with him. Discomfort number three, our final discomfort for the day. Elizabeth is now, she's old and she's pregnant. Would that be uncomfortable for you ladies? It's not comfortable when you're in your 20s and 30s, is it? Imagine now you got extra life on you and extra things are hurting and everything. Now you got pregnancy going on. That's a discomfort. That's a burden. That's a trial. But God has a purpose. Once again, I see the wow factor of people. Wow, this is God. This woman who has been barren for all these years, she's now past childbearing age. She's going to have birth to a child. Man, look at God. Look at what he's doing here. God's using their pain, discomfort, similar to Abraham and Sarah. Shouldn't be having a child at that age, but now finally the Lord has provided them with a child. Purpose number two I see, it helps build Mary's faith. Remember, this isn't just about Zechariah, this isn't just about Elizabeth, this isn't just about John the Baptist, but we got this whole family now involved with Mary and Joseph. Mary's sitting there, the angel visits her 6 months or so later. Behold, your relative in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. God's already done this once. God's done it. So this is grace encouragement for Mary, building up her faith. God's doing this wonderful, wonderful working. We can see in this, it's not always about us. And in fact, I believe God grows and develops our character not for our benefit, but so he can use us for his glory. It's not about getting Brian to be the best Christian he can possibly get until I die and go to be with him and finally glorified. Us about becoming more and more like Jesus so we can have more and more of an impact on others for good. Father, like I said, reminds Israel of Abraham and Sarah. Oh, yeah, God's done this before. He's taken this. He's done all these things. God is using similar but different ways to reach his people. He could be desiring to trigger their spirit to realize that God's moving. God's doing great and wonderful things. Now let's keep an eye out on what's going on here. What's God up to? And so I believe with this and with this series, I believe God wants to encourage us as believers, encourage us during our discomfort, to remind us that discomfort is normal. In our lives, we do everything possible to minimize discomfort, to make easy, to take the path of least resistance. But it's not going to build our faith. And God seeks to use the discomfort to become more like him. God wants us to become more like him. That's what he's doing. So as we close our final thought, God's bringing discomfort into our lives for a purpose. So I just want us to remember that, and not to hit you over the head, but just be encouraged. Look what God did with John the Baptist, Elizabeth, Zechariah. As we'll see, Mary, Joseph, the birth. Jesus' early life wasn't easy. His last few years of life weren't easy. God didn't have an easy life on earth. We're probably not going to have an easy life on earth either. I wish we did. So please take heart. God does great things because of and through great discomfort. You could probably look back to your own education, perhaps, anything that you've done and gotten well at, whether it's academics, sports, whatever. You've probably had to work hard at it. And once you finally got to level, you know, wow, this is great. You know, what's the purpose of all this algebra? What's the purpose of this language? And once it finally clicks and you get it, you know, the sports of all the weeks and years and working hard, you can finally reap the rewards. You don't become a great soccer player on the couch, unless it's with PlayStation. I'm a testament. You don't become a great reader by not reading books. I have a poor comprehension, poor reading ability, because I didn't read books as a kid very much, other than more or less what was assigned to me in school. You got to lean into things. All right, so I'd encourage you to just take heart as we go through these difficult times. The Lord's trying to do something wonderful. Let me pray. Lord, how rich is your word? How rich are your commands? How rich are you as a God? And Lord, we thank you that you're not just trying to bring us into a level of comfort, but you're trying to make us more like you, so that way we can have a greater impact. Help us to take comfort in these truths shared here today. Help us to take comfort in the life of John the Baptist and what incredible, incredible impact he had that went far beyond his death. Lord, we all desire to have a wonderful impact far beyond our deaths. But it's going to take us leaning into the uncomfortable situations. Help us to take heart in you and get all of our strength from you as a great God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.